This is a CBC podcast.
Would we or won't we? For weeks, it's been unclear if people in Saskatchewan would get their full carbon rebates or not. That's after the provincial government stopped collecting and paying a portion of the carbon tax. But in a visit to our province this week, the Prime Minister made it clear.
The Canada carbon rebate checks going to families in Saskatchewan will not be impacted by the government of Saskatchewan's decision. We're going to continue to deliver the Canada carbon rebate to families right across Saskatchewan, despite the fact that Premier Moe is not sending that money to Ottawa right now.
For more on that and the rest of the week's political news, we've reached our panel. Adam Hunter covers politics for CBC Saskatchewan. Murray Mandrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post, and they join me every week at this time. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Adam, what can you tell us about this week's commitment from the Prime Minister?
Yeah, this is something that we've been going back and forth on for a few weeks now since the government, provincial government, made it official that they weren't going to be sending that carbon money on home heating to Ottawa. It was about $172 million last year, expected to be much more this year with the carbon tax increasing. Initially, Jonathan Wilkinson, the federal minister of natural resources, said, you're not going to get anything. And then after a couple of days, he said, well, maybe less. And then it was, okay, maybe they'll face some consequences. And the Prime Minister came out this week in Saskatoon, and you heard what he said there. Stephen Guilbeault, who's also been one of the targets of the provincial government, the federal minister of environment, he said the provincial government is being irresponsible, and that cabinet and the Prime Minister said it wouldn't be fair to the people of Saskatchewan to face the consequences for a decision that the Premier made. We still don't know what those consequences are going to be. Interestingly enough, the Prime Minister alluding to, well, the CRA as a way to get the money back. And the next day in Edmonton was asked about it again and said, well, good luck to Premier Moe in his fight with the tax man, essentially. So we still don't know where this is going to end up, but there's $200 million sitting out there that the federal government's expecting to get from the province that they won't be getting. And they're saying that maybe the tax collector will come get it.
What's going to happen?
Well, you might have to cut my mic off. I'm going to go out on a limb here, but there might be politics involved. I'm starting to sense that now, Steph. It's the whole game. Usually you see it played from the aspect of the provincial government starting it, particularly on the carbon tax. Obviously, the federal government thought the need to bite back a little bit. As Adam said, Jonathan Wilkinson went back and forth. Last I talked to him a month ago, he says, well, you know, we can't really blame and pick on Saskatchewanians for the actions of their provincial government, which seems to be a bit of a political message in itself, and basically saying, well, obviously it'd be politically stupid to punish Saskatchewan. We'd lose votes that way, not that we're going to get any here in Saskatchewan. But that is the political game. Usually, and not usually, almost always, it's started by the provincial government, as this whole issue related to home heating of oil versus natural gas was. There, I guess, is logic in terms of wanting people to not have to pay the incredibly high price of oil home heating in Atlantic provinces, mostly and elsewhere. Obviously, Scott Moe parlayed into it a very effective political campaign of what about natural gas too, and how does one part of the country essentially get a break in the other? This is more about politics than it is about policy. And I wrote about it today. Adam and I often talk about, you know, if they put the same effort into developing strong policy positions as they do into developing sneaky little political campaigns like we're going to talk about in the robocall. In other words, we'd be a great province. We'd have all these problems solved. I seriously doubt we'd have any problems attracting specialists or nurses or with problems with classroom overcrowding, because the ability of this government to come up with creative solutions, at least when it comes to politics, at least when it comes to getting out their message, is rather phenomenal. The ability to actually solve some of the issues that we're facing as a province kind of becomes secondary and gets ignored to the political games being played. This being one of them, this time being started by the federal government, but honestly, it's really been started by the province, and that's the problem.
And the Saskatchewan Party did send me and others a text this week telling us that the NDP is Justin Trudeau's choice for Saskatchewan. What's this about?
Yeah, a lot of Trudeau news. This comes on the heels of Carla Beck traveling to Ottawa last week, and she met with the Canadian Labour Congress, and it just so happened that Prime Minister Trudeau met with them and Jagmeet Singh, the leader of the NDP. Now, they weren't all in the room at the same time, but the ad makes it look like they're all in the same room. It's the same blue backdrop, and they were sitting at the head table meeting with these delegates. The government has played this all week as Carla Beck is strategizing with Jagmeet Singh, the confidence to supply agreement that's propping up the Liberal government, and they're trying to get them reelected. And that was Carla Beck's trip to Ottawa. And the NDP has been kind of on the defensive on that this week. And we saw what was the result of that with this put together ad that came in a form of a text. It's been on social media, and the premier's been posting it on social media as well, repeatedly saying that, calling this a campaign strategy session or something, which I don't think that was the official
campaign
name of this
school.
Yeah, campaign school. Thanks, Murray. Campaign school. So that's what they were playing. The NDPs, you know, also sending photos of Carla Beck with meeting with the CFL Players Association rep when they were members of the CLC this week, saying, "Hey, this is what we're actually doing." But that is the latest political game to try and tie, which they've been doing for weeks, Carla Beck's policies to Trudeau's policies. And the NDP here has been saying, well, we're against the carbon tax. Scott Moe says, no, they're not. See, they're trying to plot against us. So that's what that text means.
Carla Beck said this was BS. What do you think?
Well, yeah, it's BS. Not that I've ever used that word. But like, I mean, it's... The problem that Carla Beck is having is actually this House party is better at this game than the NDP, and she is. And this is repeatedly played out. What she hoped to accomplish in Ottawa, politically speaking, long term, I do not know. Why she was there, not anticipating that something like this was going to come out, is bizarre to me, because you're a politician. You have to understand the political game at least as well as they do. You had to understand that this was exactly what they do, but they don't miss a pitch. You know, big fat one coming down the middle, curveball, they get a little bit of a piece of it. And if it's a problem for them, they at least follow it off. But if it's something like this, where Beck is in Ottawa, is at the same time Trudeau and Singh are, it's a home run for them. And you're seeing that on your phone right now. Most people don't pay enough attention to politics. Those that do find this is silly and ridiculous and nonsense. The whole notion that Jagmeet Singh and Justin Trudeau must rely on Carla Beck's counsel to win seats in, says, come on, people, like think it through. This is not realistic. But most people don't think it through. Most people are scrolling through their phone, scrolling through their social media feeds, and they see something, oh, yeah, you know, Beck, Trudeau, Ottawa, carbon tax. Yeah, I don't like all that. You know, and this is this is guilt by association. Now, once again, I think we talked about it last week or the week before. Carla Beck clearly hasn't made her point or case clear as to where she does stand on carbon pricing and everything else, or what the NDP think is the alternative. They generally say that we're against Trudeau and this particular tax either. Okay, fine. So what's your alternative? And by the way, if you're against it, how happy are some of your own members over this? So the SAS party recognizes that this is problematic for Carla Beck on two levels. Internally, because there's people within her party that don't like her position that she's taking, but externally, because people here do not like the carbon tax. They don't think about the rebate. They don't think about other issues, because people are being somewhat affected, and in some ways majorly affected, if you happen to belong in an industry that's harder hit than others. Carla Beck recognizes this, but not recognizes to the point that maybe I need to steer clear of Jagmeet Singh, like I did in the convention years ago when they disinvited him. And this is the problem, I think. Credit the SAS party in terms of the robocalls, because they're excellently done. They don't miss an opportunity. And if they were as good at solving the problems like classroom overcrowding or hiring specialists or hiring the nurses, as they are at seizing upon political opportunities, we would live in nirvana. We would not have any of these problems. But that's not the emphasis of this government. And one of the problems that's going to come down historically is we're going to see this government one day that was interested in nothing other than politics and getting reelected. And that's when the problems piled up. We're not talking about that now, but we never talk about that. We talk about what's on our phones.
Yeah, and speaking of specialists, we keep hearing about families concerned about the medical treatment that their kids need and often traveling out of here to get it. What's the latest?
This is the opposition bringing another family in this week, the Weber family from Saskatoon. Their 16-year-old Zachary, who has autism, is also dealing with a issue where he needs a pediatric gastroenterologist, and they're having to send him to Toronto for treatment. This is similar to a story we heard from another family a couple of weeks ago. The province and the SHA and the Patterson Children's Hospital short about 14 pediatric specialists. And Minister Hinley says they're working on it. They have maybe half of those soon to be filled in the process of that. But there are those vacancies, two in pediatric gastroenterology. Saskatchewan used to have two. Now they have zero. And Zachary had one that he could see in Saskatoon where he lives. Now he's got to go to Toronto. The family's facing great expense. And the criticism from the opposition is that you've let this problem get really, really bad and you're not doing enough about it quickly enough, and the families are having to pay out of pocket to travel and go there and get these treatments.
I mean, this children's hospital was a big deal for the Saskatchewan Party government to promise and deliver. A lot of people wanted a children's hospital here. How are we doing on staffing it?
Well, we're not staffing it, and the children's hospital may or may not be the solution. With all due respect to those people who donated and like the notion that we need a children's hospital in Saskatchewan, because everybody needs to take care of their kids. There are rare occasions like this when your heart goes out to this family where kids are going to have to be sent out of province because of rare situations. It's been ever thus in Saskatchewan because it is Saskatchewan. We're not going to attract the best specialists in a province with 1.2 million people that doesn't have a lot of amenities to send people. We don't have a major airport where you can get out internationally and go to things. I know some of these specialists, unfortunately, because that was a big part of my life for a long time, is having to deal with them for children. Illnesses. And the fact of the matter is, why we had to go to Edmonton, why my family had to deal with it out of province, is simply because they don't want to be relocated in Saskatchewan where there's less opportunity and less amenities. They want to be in a bigger city like Toronto or Vancouver or Edmonton or Calgary, where they can do things and go places, because that's what these people do. They go to international conferences. They go to national conferences. They're on the move all the time. And you can't do things like that from Saskatchewan. Even if the government was emphasizing the problems here, and this is really one where, yes, we need a special fund and special considerations to support families going out of province, we probably don't need them for people getting a standard mammogram or a standard hip and knee replacement. And this is the problem. Because they put so much emphasis on dealing with politics and all their energies towards political gamesmanship and political advantage, and don't deal with standard policies, we have problems there. But in terms of the issues like the Weber family is facing, it's a sadly unique situation to them. My heart goes out for them, because some people have to go through this, and it's a horrible thing. But it's something that would always exist in Saskatchewan in the situation that we're in. And I wish they could deal with that. I more wish that they would stop the politics and just deal with the general problems in healthcare and elsewhere.
Thanks, you guys.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.